All right. Hello and welcome. Let's just begin with a practice, and you guys can practice. I'll let people in. Let's just arrive in this moment and in this body, because there's no other place except this place and this moment. So gently, slowly, arriving. Let us take a few deep and conscious breaths together, connecting with ourselves, noticing the sensations that are present. Hello, body. Hi. Hello, me. Hi, hi, hi. How am I doing? Just connecting to the deliciousness of having a body, having physicality. Isn't that amazing? I have a body that allows me to experience being here. So, if it feels right for you, let us connect with different parts of our body, starting from our feet, noticing them. And as we notice, if there is a sense of thankfulness and gratitude, you can express it energetically to your feet. Thank you, feet, for allowing me to move, for holding my weight throughout the day. Thank you. And maybe just move your toes, let them feel happy, communicate to you, with you. Hello, hi, hi, my feet. And then, ever so gently, bring your attention to your legs, your knees, your thighs, all parts of your lower body. Hello, hi, thank you. Large bones, small bones. Hello. Thank you for so meticulously working. And just notice if you feel any response back from your body when you attend to it. With a sense of gratitude instead of usual judgments that we have. Thank you. Bring your attention to your back, your belly. Hi. My back for holding all the weights, for connecting the lower and upper body. Hi. Belly. Hi, belly. Thank you for digesting, for connecting me to my gut, for breaking down what is good and what is not, for releasing that which does not help me and consuming that which does. And you do that both physically and energetically. Thank you. Thank you, my wonderful, miraculous gut, belly, back. And just take a breath right into your belly and your back and allow your breath to be a friend, a good, helpful, supportive friend. Hi. And just gently and slowly bring your attention higher to your chest, to your heart, to your throat, releasing, cleansing, comforting. Thank you. Thank you, my beautiful heart, for feeling all these emotions. Thank you for being the doorway to my higher self. Thank you. Thank you for connecting to the happiness and pains of other people. Thank you for reminding me I am part of the world's community. Thank you, my throat, for giving voice to me, allowing me to connect with others with words. Thank you. Just very gently bring your attention to your face, starting with your mouth. Wow, thank you, tongue. Thank you, mouth, for starting the process of digestion, for breaking down the food that I take in, for allowing me to speak. Thank you for allowing me to taste the world, the deliciousness of the food. Thank you. Thank you to my teeth. Oh, my beautiful teeth. Thank you. What hard work you do. Wow. You are so complicated, my beautiful teeth. I know you have roots. I know your roots are connected to the rest of me. I know that your job is to allow the food that I take in to become digestible by my body. What a beautiful coordination you have with the rest of my body. I admire you. I command you. May my coordination and alignment be as meticulous as yours, my beautiful teeth. Thank you. And my nose. Ah, purifying the air I take in, connecting me with the world through the air, through the breath that I take in. Thank you. Thank you for allowing me to smell the world, to smell the roses, to smell the discomfort of the world, to smell the delicious, beautiful scents of the world. Thank you. Another connector. And to my eyes, to my beautiful eyes, and this is not about the actual beauty, it is about being the windows to the world, connecting me with the sensation of seeing, allowing me to start the process of connection through seeing. And thank you for always being there when I need you. And may I command you at this moment and let you know that I want to see deeper, deeper into my own heart and deeper into the souls and hearts of others. I am done with overlooking. I am really ready for deep seeing. Thank you. Thank you, my dear ears. Oh, the sounds of the world, the sounds that you allow me to experience. I am just beginning to recognize the powerful and amazing influence of sounds in my soul. It's amazing what can be done through hearing the sounds. Thank you, my complicated, maze-like ears. I never understand you, but I do command you and I do admire you for the beautiful, complicated, amazing sound system, receiving sounds that you do. I thank you. I'm grateful for you. Please continue to hear the best of the world and send prayers to the rest of the world when you do not hear the sounds of unity and love and connection. Help me to hear and choose what serves me and let go of that which doesn't. And to my brain, to my head. Hello. What can I tell you? The more I connect with the larger, bigger, more wholesome aspect of you, the more I am amazed by the way you function. Thank you to my survival and rational mind. Thank you for allowing me to survive in this world. I really am grateful for you, and I also would like you to only stick with your own work and your own job. Survival. I will take care of the rest. The thriving, I will consult with my whole mind. With my bigger mind. Oh, hello, my bigger mind. Thank you for giving me a window to the larger, more expansive part of the universe. Thank you for collaborating and being there always. I'm getting to know you more and more every day. I'm connecting to you, calling you more often these days. Thank you for being the tool, the connection to the world beyond, to the world not yet discovered by me, but very much of interest to me. Thank you. Oh, thank you to my hands. I forgot about you. Thank you for getting things done. Thank you for your movements. Thank you for carrying things for me on my behalf with me. Thank you, my hands. Thank you, my fingers, for your meticulous movements. How do you do that? I am in awe of you. Hello, I hold you with love. I hold you with gratitude. I am thankful to you. Thank you. My miraculous, beautiful, meticulous body working in alignment. I know I only notice you when you're not working in alignment, but please help me, allow me, support me to see you in your alignment, in your perfection, in your harmony, the harmony that allows every movement to take place. Can't believe I hold this miracle inside of me. And I sometimes don't even pay attention to it. But today I'm taking time because I'm seeing you, my dear body, with the eyes of my higher self. And I apologize for the other aspects of me when we become very critical of you. We look at you and believe that we're never tall enough, slim enough, young enough, gorgeous enough. But today, with the eyes of my higher self, I think you are more than enough. I think I need to see you as enough. I think I'm grateful for your enoughness and beauty. Thank you. I hear both voices when I connect with you. the critical voice of my frightened self that wants to fit in, that believes that they are not ever enough. But then I hear the other voice, the voice of admiration and gratitude, that you are more than enough. So now we sit in silence, in gratitude of our body, seeing it, connecting with it, with aspects of us that has much higher consciousness than the complaining, judgmental part of us. All right. Let's see. Hi, everyone. Good to see you. Let me stop the share. I assume everybody heard my bell, right? Good. Okay. Because sometimes it doesn't work. Good to see everyone and welcome. Welcome. Okay. I did a lot of talking. Now it's your turn. So somebody starts sharing their insights, maybe about the meditation, maybe about your life, maybe about something that is of interest, or ask questions. So share insights, ask, and see where we go. Oh, somebody needs to be admitted. Okay. All right. I mean, okay. You don't want me to talk for 1.5 hours, do you? Okay, I'll talk. 1, 2, 3. Go ahead, Chris. I knew if I threatened you with my talk, you would talk. Go ahead.
No, I just wanted to thank you for the practice and Something very alive for me right now is just what you covered. To see, to hear, to taste, to smell, to sense, and then for mind to be able to put all of that together into interpretations and make a story out of it, even though the story doesn't serve us, at times it's wondrous. It really is. And we, if meditation is just that, just appreciating the senses and how they come together into thought and story, it's just incredible. So thank you for that practice.
Thank you. Yes, isn't it? I would love to, if there's any other shares. Go ahead.
I really appreciated the meditation this morning. It just felt like a beautiful way to love oneself, and then also to be able to kind of reframe loving others in the way that you love parts of yourself and all, your whole self, and just felt like it was really timely, I think for a variety of reasons. But yesterday I was at the gym, and there's often, I feel like, a woman there that looks anorexic to me, and I saw her yesterday, like, take off all of her clothes and get and weigh herself, like, repeatedly. And it was a very intense time moment, like, in that also, like, her stomach looked like really bloated, like you see with like starvation and things like that. And yesterday I could, like, I wanted to help her, I wanted to say something, and but I didn't know what to say. And instead I came home and thought about it and thought, you know what, like, what I can do right now is not berate myself for all the things that I feel like my body is less than, especially as I'm going through intense hormonal changes with body changes, that I felt really angry about things that I can't fix or control. And so it was just a really beautiful reminder to think about what is most important, and to recognize that appreciating and loving doesn't mean you need to be perfect, and that the beauty is in that. And so it's really important, and I really appreciate it.
Thank you. What a great share. And I think what you're saying is that that's how you remedied this, by you not being in a way like how this woman was being. Because if I dislike my body, and assuming that she dislikes or is worried about her body to a degree that it's not helpful, then we're both adding to the same energy of the world. If you want to translate it energetically, we're both doing the same thing. And I think, is that the right understanding? That was my
Yeah, that's
understanding.
what it felt like. 'Cause, like, in some ways, I was like, at first, I was like, oh, wow, she's really like dramatic, like she's really, really, really. And I'm like, but think about all the energy that I've spent not appreciating my body. And while I haven't gone to that extent of it, energetically and yeah, emotionally, I'm not any, haven't been any different. And so it was like, oh, so yeah.
Interesting. You know, Chris,
And
there's, go ahead.
what'd you say?
No, go ahead. Sorry.
I think, and I see myself, passing that on to people that are close to me too, like, and that's not not okay. So it's important to appreciate. And it was just really beautiful to, it was a very good role model, I guess, in terms of the meditation, to be able to see how you appreciate and connect.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Very helpful. Very helpful. I have a memory around that, but I want to actually hear other people talk. We'll see if there's chance I will talk about that too, but I think I want to hear from people that we haven't seen. Look who's here. Sheila and Mark. Hello. Good to see you. I see you're still in Portugal. I can see. I know that door. Good to see you guys. Very good to see you. Okay. Hi. Hello. Oh, go ahead. Yes, Mark, go ahead. Yes, please.
Thank you. I really appreciated that perspective and going into gratitude with my body of late and for actually the last couple of years, a couple of times, but of late, I've had a significant health challenge, and that I've had basically, doctors have done all the testing and investigation they can do. They can find absolutely nothing wrong with me, which give me time. I'll let you in on all the things. But no, as far as physically, they haven't been able to figure out what's going on whatsoever. And I try to be very proactive with my body, and especially lately, take very good care of my body. So, like, I have this real urge to do something, and but I have no information about what to do. So it felt like falling into gratitude is the thing I can do. That's kind of like the base of it all. That's the ground in this, is falling into gratitude. And it's hard to do when I'm very concerned about this, or I've had it. It has been. I haven't gone there. I haven't gone to gratitude. And I really appreciate being brought to that. Thank you.
You, wow. If you think about body, Mark, and I look at body like that, body doesn't have words. Like if it wants to say something to me, it doesn't have words. The only thing it has is not to do what it's supposed to do, so I can pay attention to it. You know, so that's the language of the body. So, you know, I'm overusing my hand. My hand can't say Mitra. I think you're overusing me, especially the right one. So what it does is it starts aching or paining, okay? And then that's its language, that's its communication method, if you like. And then all I need to do is to pay attention to it. And you're right, that's that the there is the medical world, there's the scientific world, then there is me. What can I do from here? Right? Like I was preparing a friend for a major surgery a while ago. And I said, what can you do? And they were doing a lot of studies and things. And I said, like, you know, you're not performing the surgery. You let the hopefully physicians know what they're doing, the surgeon knows. Let's see what you can do that nobody else can do. And then I had an agenda. My thing was to go to this, to gratitude and be this. But that's really from your end, if you're not physicians, besides resting and eating well and moving it, the only other thing we can do energetically is to really connect to it in a loving way. It's just like if it was anybody else, if it was Sheila was saying, like, you know, I don't know, I have a headache, like just holding, just being loving instead of saying, oh, why do you have a headache? Didn't I tell you for like that's what we do with our body. If we did that to anybody else, it would be just so uncalled for. Just imagine that. Like Sheila comes and says, I've had it, and you say, well, come on, didn't I tell you to wear a hat? You always like that. You don't have a good head anyways. And you'd think like, wow, Would you ever do that? Okay, but we're doing it with ourselves. What's wrong? How come you're like this? Can't you see our neighbors are better? And it's like we really go to a place that is unbelievable. I always say, you've heard me say that if we do this to anybody else, they leave us or they sue us. Like if I talk to somebody on the street like that, they're going to just say, like, she's attacking me, she's abusing me. But we do that to ourselves. So, yeah, it's amazing that I was, as you know, I don't prepare meditation, but the first thing that came to me, which was unusual for this group, was about the body. But I must have picked up on something that is, yeah, that is there. Thank you.
That's wonderfully insightful because I hadn't thought about it, but there's something about the inquisitive process that transcends healing and goes to a divisiveness in a sense, you know, where it's like I'm dividing from my body and saying, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? And so gratitude, it's like a warm hug, it's a joining, you know, it's like, okay,
Yes, it
let's
is.
join back together.
It is so right on, Mark. You won't believe how right on you are. Let me just say, science, the word science, actually, where you are, the language is closer to that than where I am right now, is, and consciousness, they both have same roots. So, science, conscience, conscience, and science. Science. Okay. So science is in the belly of conscious. In fact, science comes from conscious, except science means apart, separated. Okay. It's going to make sense in a second. Work with me. And then conscience means whole, where all the pieces are together. It's conscience, conscious, and science is separated part. When I work energetically using my consciousness to heal my body while science, medical world is working, I'm approaching health from both ends, both from the separated, meaning zooming in to look at it, that's their job, and zooming out by conscious that nobody else can do except me. What you can do, nobody can come. If I said thank you for your ears, Mark, like it wouldn't make sense because your ears are not serving me. They're serving you. They're in your body. They're attached to you. So when conscience and science come together, we've got the full picture of looking at it from zoom in and zoom out. And now we are in a perfect position to heal that which needs to be healed. Did that make sense at all?
Absolutely, yeah, because you know, there's a side of it that I can go to a place of, well, there's really nothing, you know, nothing I can do, like frustration and but really when I went to gratitude and when I go to gratitude, it actually is feels very different. It feels very powerful. It feels like it's kind of like this is the first thing I should be doing, not what I do because I have no other power. You know,
Wow.
it's like the most powerful thing. And so I really appreciate the being brought back to that. Thank you.
Thank you. Remember when we were kids, they used to say, let mommy kiss it better. That's exactly what it is, except as adults, we're the mummy and we need to kiss it better. So it's the ultimate power.
Thank
Thank
you.
you. Thank you for sharing and may it be healed, whatever it is. Wow. Okay. Thank you. Let's see who else has something to share. Go ahead, Jennifer.
Yeah, thanks for the meditation and the talk. This was
Very relevant to me as well. So you're picking up on a lot of energies. I've had a rough few days, and yeah, I wasn't like listening to my body, and I know that I was able to recognize that, but I need to do better. So it was like I couldn't eat very much and wasn't sleeping well and those sorts of things. So this is a reminder to listen to those signals and to do what I can do in that moment. Maybe I can't eat a full meal, but I can eat a snack. Or maybe, I can't like exercise a lot, but I could go for a walk, like do something small that progresses me in the right direction. So I appreciate the reminder of listening to your body.
Thank you, Jen. Yeah, thank you for sharing that. Great. Christine.
Good morning.
Morning.
There's a lot that I can reflect on. But what came to mind yesterday or the other day, I've been doing some like nervous system work, and the teacher's been talking about our eyes and how we physically like relax more when we're like looking with a soft view or like at a horizon.
Right.
And we spend so much time staring at phones and screens. And so, how just by sort of that, our lifestyle, that we sort of put ourselves into more of sympathetic at like threatened sympathetic state, just sort of like modern life, sort of on top of many other things, does that to us. And I was just thinking about how, with the observation deck, right, we come up and we take that wider, broader view, and how just by doing that, I mean, there's so many things, right, that are beneficial to it, but it just really clicked with me of, all right, okay, go to the observation deck, take a wider view, like settle your system. So I'd wanted to share that today. Yeah, and then I'm just really resonating with how I can speak negatively to myself about my body. And like Luca's favorite part of me right now is my armpit.
Sorry.
He's really all day long, huh? All day long. It's like mama's armpit, mama's armpit. Right? Like you couldn't kind of pick apart, that. And so, and again, he's just, what they say is true. Like your children are your greatest teachers. He's, just so fascinated and so curious. Like today was just trying to pull the stem off of a cherry. And that's hard to do with a tiny hand and you want to put it in your mouth. And so just watching him do that and be curious and like working, and how we of course don't remember that like we couldn't just pull a stem off of a cherry, or we can't just like pull the pit out of a cherry. So that was just happening while we were doing the body meditation. I was watching him, really. Okay.
Hi. Sorry. We're paying
I'm
no attention to you so that you know, Christine.
fine. I'm used to it. I'm used to it. I'm used to it. I'll stop there. So great to see all of you. Thanks for listening.
Thank you. Hi, Luca.
Good morning.
Hi,
Hello,
Luca.
Susan.
Let's all wave to Luca.
Do you want to wave hello?
Look, everybody's waving to you. For those of you who are listening to the recording, we haven't gone completely mad. We're just seeing Christine's son, and we're all just like in awe of the beauty of this child's face and curiosity. So that's what we're doing. Thank you, Christine. Thank you for that share. And what an amazing class, looking at the eyes and the function of the eyes. My partner Henry is writing a book about seeing, and it's so fascinating. Seeing anything, he just goes into seeing experience, seeing the art, seeing nature, seeing yourself. And it's really just fascinating. how much we overlook and undersee. We look at things, but we do not see them really. So, yeah. Christine, you asked a question that you left at that time. I saw your chat. I said when we were kids, we would, when we had a problem or pain or a cut, we would say to our mother, or mother would say, "Let mommy kiss it better." And that really is something that we can do as adults. Let me kiss it better. It turns into that when we bring gratitude and connection to our body, we're really kissing our body better. And they knew there was some energy in that time between the mother and the child, at least, that could heal it. It wasn't just a, something we said to the kids. It was true. And it is true now too that we can actually kiss our body better instead of asking mommy to kiss it. As adults, we kiss it better. So by being connected with it, by being in awe of it, by being thankful, or just by connecting, just connecting. Hi, hello, hello, elbow. I'm here. I haven't forgotten how much you have served me. That's what we were saying. Thank you. Let's see. Yes, go ahead, Minu.
Hello from New York City. I hope you can hear me this
Yes, we
time.
can. Yes.
So we are, I'm in the lobby of the hotel and there's a little bit noisier. I'm going to make it short, but good to see everyone. Actually, Mitrajan, what you just said, I was at my mom's place before I came here a few days ago and I had a bad headache. So my mom said, my 95-year-old mom said, come here, come here. She held me and put her head next to my head and connected to me and said, I'm wishing you to heal right now. And I promise you will heal in a few minutes, in a few seconds. And as I swear to God, when I separated from her, just on the same seat, a little bit distant from her, I felt already a lot better. And now what you're saying is true, that we can do the same thing to ourselves. I don't have to wait for a mom to do that to me. I can do that to myself. And it was what you said, I exactly felt it with my mom. But then I can do that to myself too. When
Yes.
I get it, I know how to do it again or pass it to myself. That was so pretty. That was so beautiful. Thank you. Thank
Thank
you.
you. Thank you for sharing. Enjoy New York, Minuta. Yes, that's so true. That is so true. Yeah. Oh, what a beautiful discussion. I had no idea. I came here with my own agenda of what I want to talk about. We went to the body. I wanted to talk about artificial intelligence. And look, we went to the intelligence of the body. That's really amazing. Really amazing. Okay, let's see. Who else has something to share? Okay, I tell you the story that I wanted to say when Christine said the story about the woman who was anorexic. I was in the bathroom of a restaurant and I saw this young woman that rushed to the bathroom and brought up all her food. And then she came out and then I said, "Are you okay? Can I get you?" I went and got her some cold water from outside, brought it with a glass. And I said, "Are you okay?" And she said, Yeah, don't worry." She was taking it very lightly. She said, I do that after every food. Don't worry, I'm okay." And I said, "Oh, why do you do that?" She said, referring to her body, she said, "You think this body comes free? Look at my body." And she had a beautiful body. And I said, "Oh, no, it obviously doesn't come free." I said, "Why do you want to have this body at this price?" And she looked at me very strangely, as if like, what kind of a question is this? She said, "Of course, because I want, it was very obvious to her. Obviously, I'm slow in these areas." I said, "No, I don't." She said, "Because I want to find a man that loves this body." I said, "The body that you don't love?" And she looked at me, she said, "What?" I said, "Well, I'm sorry. The way you're treating it, it tells me you don't love it. Do you? She said, I love it when it's the way I want it to be. I said, okay, so you don't love it as is, right? She said, yes. And I said, and then you want to find somebody who loves it? Which version of you? And she said, I don't understand what you're saying. She actually understood, but it was very uncomfortable for her. Very uncomfortable. Anyway, she goes out. I wash my hands and I go out. And she comes and taps me at the table. And I was with a large group. And she says, can I talk to you for a second? And everybody is like, what's going on? I said, no, I'll be fine. So I go out and I speak with her. And she said, why did you say that? I said, why are you asking why I said that? She said, I don't know. I said, you're rattled, aren't you? She said, yes, I was fine. And she's like with really loud voice. I said, where are you? And she said, who are you? I said, my name is Mitra. I don't know. What do you want to know? She said, I don't know. I didn't like what you said. I said, you didn't like me saying you don't like your body? She said, yeah. I said, do you? She said, maybe I don't. I said, okay, then that's fine. It's none of my business then. It was the most amazing conversation. All of these that I'm saying, it happened in like few minutes. It wasn't like it was a half an hour discussion. And then she said, so what are you saying? I just said what I said. What do you want to hear? Tell me what you want to talk about, because you do obvious. You came and tapped me on the shoulder. She said, you think I don't love my body? I said, no, I don't. I'm asking you. Obviously, you don't love your body, because this vomiting is not a good thing to do after each food. You're supposed to take in the food, not throw out the food. She said, well, I have to do it. I said, do you? She said, you ask questions all the time. She was so upset with me, but it was funny. She didn't want to let go of the discussion. That was the fascinating part for me. I said, look, I left you alone. I went and sat at my table. You want to talk about this because you called me back. Do you want to talk about it? She said, maybe I do. I said, okay, let me ask you this question. Why do you want to find a man who loves your body? She said, duh, it's obvious. You can tell she was young. I said, because you want to be happy, right? She said, yes. I said, is this what you're doing making you happy? She said, no. I said, so you don't love your body. What you're doing is make you unhappy. And through this process, you want to be happy and find somebody who loves your body. Do you understand? There's a bit of a conflict here. She said, yes. I said, it's like I want to love you and connect to you, and I come and start cursing you and screaming at you. Do you think I will call you to myself? She said, no. I said, so what is your conclusion? She said, are you saying the more I do this, the further I go from finding my lover? I said, do you think that's what I'm saying? She said, yes. I said, then that's what I'm saying. And I looked at her and we stood in silence, which is so uncomfortable for people. And she just said, so what should I do? I said, what do I know? I hardly know what I should do. And I've lived much longer than you. I'm still figuring that out. She said, no, you do. You do. I know you do. I said, honestly, if I do, I do it for myself. I think you know what to do. You just were on the wrong road, going really further away where from where you want to be. And I said, can I go back? I'm really hungry. I want to have my food. She said, yes. So I go back to my table. I see her standing outside for much longer than what I thought she would stay there. I go back, I have my food, and I forget checking on her. And then she comes and hugs me, like as if she's my kid, from the back as I'm sitting. And she kisses me and she says, I love you. Thank you. And she leaves. And everybody at my table says, who was that? I said, someone I met in the bathroom. It was the most amazing exchange. And I have a lot of amazing exchanges, I have to tell you, because I love doing it. So, I create it. And she left. And that was my experience with this young woman. And it was, I think, about a month or 2 months ago that it happened. So I just wanted to add that. I was just very much, I forget my stories. Have you noticed? Henry knows. I completely forget my stories because there's so many. If I keep them in my awareness, there won't be room for anything new to come. But when somebody says something, they get triggered. And it's just so beautiful that I got triggered by Christine's story. Thank you for that story. It brought this story. Anyways, that was my story of body and this beautiful. She had such an amazing energy. Was just like you could tell she's like, oh, ready to be reborn. You know? It was just so beautiful, that exchange. I'm very curious about her, but I have no information or contact or even her name. So, anyways, that was my story. Let's see who's next.
I can go again. I think Christine had mentioned the observation deck, and it was reminding me that the first time I listened to that lesson, I don't remember which lesson number it is, but I was in a lot of pain when I started listening to that lesson. I thought, why are you doing this? Like, you can't focus on this lesson. This doesn't make sense. And I'm listening to everything. And as soon as you said in the lesson to go to the observation deck, my pain lessened. It didn't go away, but it just lessened enough for me to say, yeah, that's right. This pain is temporary. I know how this works. Like, it made me see a different perspective of it. Instead of focusing so much on the pain, I was able to see like the bigger picture. And so I've been using the observation deck for like those kinds of moments when I'm like in a lot of pain and stuff. I'll be like, no, just go to the observation deck. It's fine. So I think that was a good reminder.
Wow. You know what you're doing though. It's very simple. We zoom in to identify the problem. And the problem is we stay zoomed in with the problem. Then the problem gets augmented and it gets so big that it becomes unbearable or unsolvable. What observation deck does that it allows you, invites you to zoom out. Because zooming in is identification, zooming out is solution. It is only in, okay, what are the options? And we habit is our habitual self stays zoom in. So it's, and you know it by the way you talk to people. Like if you say, Mitra, how are you? I won't tell you there are billions of pieces of me that are doing fine. However, there's a bit of, I don't know, itch or pain or discomfort at my back. What do I say? I say I have a bit of back pain. So one part or a bit of even paper cut. I will notice that because I'm zooming in on that. And then I will not report on. And when you zoom out, it allows you to see the pain in the big picture of your existence. It is not the only thing about your existence. It's not focused. It is zoomed out. And that's why the pain feels, it was the same pain. This is not magic potion that you goes on, ooh, it disappears. What it is your focus. It's all about attention. Your attention on the pain has now spread out, divided into infinity, hopefully, if it's a big observation, they go at least 10 things instead of one thing. And that's what happens. That's the magic of that you're dividing your attention onto so many things. And amongst those so many things, there are like a lot of comfort. There's also beauty. I'm also seeing the tree while knowing that I have a cut. You see? So the division of attention, there's science to that, allows it to actually not be so focused and hence experiencing such intense pain. That's what happens. Thank you for that share. Thank you. Go ahead.
There we go. Sorry. I had a question connected to this, but somewhat connected to it, maybe. Especially kind of thinking about the zooming in and zooming out a bit. In a work-related challenge, there's a lot of tension amongst the team, some comp a lot of comp somewhat like competitiveness, threat. People get threatened if people feel like you're doing what they think they should be doing, or they want you to do. People on my team, I feel like, want my role to be maybe different than I envision it to be, or that my manager envisions it to be at times. And so there's just a lot of conflict. And then there's been this out, they hired this outside agency to come in and audit kind of all the things that were going on. And I didn't really realize how stressed I was about it until, in part, we started talking today and talking about the body and like how a lot of when I'm stressed, I feel like I hate my body more. So it's like, anyway, and so I'm trying, and I think I'm stressed because I fear that like people will, you know, in this audit, like won't realize the vision or like the path that I want to have, or I might have to do something differently in my role that I don't want to do instead of kind of, in some ways, I have a little bit of freedom right now. So I don't know if you have any suggestions on how to kind of navigate or zoom in or zoom out to help like facilitate a more a better path, I guess.
Okay. So, what are your fears? What would be the consequences of this, say, consultant doing that gives you stress?
I think in part it's, I have this fear that they'll think maybe I'm not being like, I want to take a more strategic role. And I fear that maybe they'll see, oh, well, she's not being strategic enough. And so I've felt like, oh, I need to demonstrate as much as I can on strategy and put a whole bunch of stuff in there to highlight that. So, and I'm also afraid that they'll see that some other people are doing stuff that they shouldn't do, more too tactical, which I agree they shouldn't, but I don't want to do it either. And so I'm afraid, like, budget wise, if they don't add more people to the team, then some of that stuff will get added on to me. And another coworker has said, like, she's like, we're equal. You should be doing exactly what I'm doing. And we are equal in that. I mean, I don't know, like, but we have different skill sets and we have different strengths, and my role is different, but we're equal. You know, I don't know, but
Okay,
she
let me
wants
ask you
me.
this. Let me ask you
Yeah.
this. Let me just, because the details are here. The question is, what is the worst case scenario that may happen in your head? What is the worst case scenario?
That I'll have to do less of the more of the things I don't want to do
Okay.
and not have a like advancement path.
Okay. Okay, so I'll do things that I don't want, and also I will get stuck in where I am, correct? How true it is that that will happen?
I hope not very.
No, don't hope. Tell me, how true do you think that is? Hope doesn't do much.
I don't know. I
Okay.
mean, I don't think that's what's going to happen. I think that's maybe like a 10 to 15% chance.
Okay. So, okay, there are two things happening. Outwardly, you are worrying about something that you gave it only 10 to 15% chance to happen, meaning your attention is not on 85% or 90% of that that is ideal for you. You're focusing, talking about zooming in on the pain of what might go wrong. That's from the practical side. But there's also something happening energetically. And I'm saying this for everybody. It doesn't need to be your workplace. It could be anything. It could be a relationship with a loved one or something that is happening for you, in your family, your workplace. So what's happening is you're so attached to a certain outcome, even though there's only like 10% or 15% of the opposite of this happening, that you are giving stress to your body and then you said something strong. When I'm stressed, I hate my body. Whoa, wasn't that something to take a note of? When I'm stressed, I hate my body. In fact, the stress is the expression of hate for body, by the way. It is. It's like if I'm sitting next to you and keep poking you, and you keep saying, Mitra, why are you doing that? And I keep doing it for no particular reason or for reason that is much smaller than what it is. For 10 or 15% chance, you're doing this to your body. I mean, hate is a very strong word, but you said it. I didn't. You're saying that if they say this, I cannot handle it. And I'm going to tell you that that's not true. You can handle it. One. Two, what if this was a gift for you? What if this was a way for you to understand what your role needs to be for you to get to where you want to be? What if this was actually something that was, people say, is it for me or against me? I have a different statement for that. What if this was something that was created with, along with you? It's with you. It's not for you. It's not against you. Meaning you have a say, you have an active role in this happening. What if I said, that's like you're imagining everything anyways. Let me add my imagination to your plate of imagination. Let's say that this was something that your higher self was making happen for you in collaboration with the consultant in your workplace and your colleagues so that you get clarity, you'd get to a place that I don't know, whatever changes need to happen. I'm not familiar with your work, so I can't say what it is, but it's something that is actually good for you and good for your progress as a human and as a person who's working. What if that was the case? Because the stress comes when you think enemy is coming. Bad things are coming. What if this was something that actually was created along with your collaboration and your permission? What if I said that's true? What do you think about that?
I think that's would be great.
I think it is great. I think you're afraid to be told something that you know within you. Reaction?
Yeah, and I think maybe that's part of it is that I'm
Facing
afraid
the
that I'm
truth.
not that yeah, maybe that I'm not like living up to like what I could be doing.
Okay. Do you see how we went around the world and came back to you? Do you see that we do that most of the time? That really what it is one statement. I'm afraid to first to face the truth that I know. That's what I am afraid of. I'm not afraid of you as my colleague. I'm not afraid of you as the consultant. I'm not afraid of you, my boss. I'm afraid of me facing the truth. That's why I said this is happening in collaboration of your higher self. That's the job of the higher self, to make sure that you face the truth that you are part of making. That's all it is. And that has no fear. If this is working in collaboration with the part of me that loves me and adores me and wants me to expand, what am I afraid of? Might be difficult, but hey, any rebirth is difficult. That's why we go through labor. That's why they call it labor. Do you think this intelligence couldn't just let us like pop a child out? Why do we go through labor? Because we need to remind ourselves and remember that any rebirthing requires a bit of assembly. It's like IKEA pieces. It's a beautiful piece, but you need to put it together. and you're putting it together now. There is nothing to be afraid of. It is all in collaboration with you. And if there is a truth out there that you're in denial of, may you face it. I'm going to leave it at that. Tell me what you're doing. How are you feeling right now? Should I leave you alone, or is it a bad place to leave you hanging?
No, I think I'm doing okay. I think sometimes it's just the relationships at work sort of, and maybe people are all facing their own fears or afraid of
Maybe.
facing their fear. I don't know, but it ends up being this like territorial sort of thing. And so I'm trying to understand, okay, if I'm facing my truth, then maybe it's just being a little bit more empathetic in work situations and trying to understand where they're coming from, because I find myself going into combative mode too, and then trying to prove against it. And then, like, you know, people ask me a question, well, what, let's talk about why you want to do this and what's, you know, where we're going to, the strategy behind this. And that put me in like a very defensive position. And so then I wanted to go like above and beyond to put together a plan to, in some ways, to like prove to myself why, figure out why I was doing it, write it down, but also like in spite of them. It's like not really the best energy.
Well, let me
outcome.
Just finish by saying that the world that we live in, the situations that are created, a reflection of where we are. So if you just try this for size, that it may not fit you, it fits me. If when things happen, I ask the question of, I wonder, where am I treating myself this way? Whatever it is that I'm objecting to you and I'm not liking, then that might be exactly what the discussion we had with Mark. That might be the best place to start. Just a suggestion. So
you mean like if I'm objecting to, oh,
yes.
They're
yes.
being, they're feeling threatened and I'm objecting and I'm feeling defensive.
Yes.
So where am I being threatened?
Well, they're threatening you. Okay. The question is, where am I threatening myself? They're being unkind to you or misunderstanding you. The question is, where am I misunderstanding myself? So translate that. When I say, for instance, there's a person who keeps telling me people are stupid. Okay. That's their thing. Every time he says, like, people are so stupid. And I say, where do you treat yourself as a stupid person? Because if it's so strong that the first thing that I see people, that's what comes to me, there is something within me that believes that either I'm stupid, I'm treating myself as if I'm stupid. When I ask that question, instead of going out there and resolving the world, I go in and resolve within me. Then somehow I come out and I don't see the world that stupid. Do you understand what's happening?
Mm-hmm.
Translate. So through what you're feeling about other people, identify the challenge, the problem, and then see it within you, how you can resolve it within you. How can I not treat myself that way? And then you will see somehow the world around you softens around that particular topic, and it becomes easier.
Okay, so let me just be, I'm getting a little confused about what maybe the problem is. So,
what is the problem? What do you think is the problem
okay,
in one statement?
One of the problems is one of my coworkers feels threatened by me and wants me to be doing exactly the same thing she's doing.
Okay. Doing less than what you want to do, correct? That,
yeah,
is that the problem?
Right.
Okay.
Or different. Like
different. Okay. Do you believe Think is the lighter version of belief. Remember, belief is the practice thought. Do you believe you're doing at the quality, at the level that you could be doing?
Sometimes, yes. In this case, it's more about she wants me to do more tactical things, and I want to do more strategic things.
Are you doing more strategic things?
Sometimes, yes, but not as much as I could be. But she doesn't want me to do strategic
I
things.
don't care about what she wants. I care
Okay.
about what you can do.
Okay.
She's not relevant. Please understand that with all due respect to her, people are very irrelevant. Their messages are relevant. Because if it wasn't her, it would be your neighbor saying that. If it wasn't your neighbor, it would be your cousin saying that. So they are irrelevant. Let's leave the characters alone and let's focus on what is important. Do you believe you're doing your best to be strategic?
No.
Okay, thank you. That's what I wanted to get to. That's what you need to resolve. If you felt that you're doing your best, this would not be of importance or of problems to you. There are a lot of people who say a lot of or believe a lot of things about me. Good. Good for them. Why is it not rattling me? Because I have resolved that problem. I believe that I'm doing that, so it doesn't matter what they say. But where it does rattle me, and it does sometimes, I always say, oh, that's interesting. That was rattling. 10 things I heard, I said, sure. 11th thing, I thought, oh, that got stuck. That just got stuck with me. So that's the one that I need to pay attention to. That's your only job is this. Make sure you, independent of all the people around you, are doing that strategic thing, whatever it is that you want to do, and do your best in that area, and then leave people alone and let them do what and believe whatever they want to believe and say. It won't be influencing your life as much. In fact, you won't be hearing it as much. You'll be zooming out because it's not of service to you anymore. It is serving you, believe it or not. That colleague, a particular colleague that you're sensitive about, is one of your teachers. It's reminding you, they are reminding you that, hey, you're not doing what you really want to be doing, or you're the your best in what you want to be doing. That's all. Messengers. Do not kill the messengers and do not focus on the messengers. Get the message, run with your journey. Thank you.
Thank you.
Who could relate to that? 20 things came to my mind in my own life. All right. Is there anything we want to talk? Is there somebody that wants to say anything before we go into? Yes, Sheila.
I'm curious, based on your share with the woman in the restaurant. pardon me, and that also sharing that you connect a lot. I've heard other stories of yours with the people in your world, not necessarily your personal world, but kind of your wider world. I'm curious about that. I'm curious about how you do it, why you do it. What's kind of what's behind it? I think that I'm kind of a little bit aloof in my non-personal world, and I have also heard read shares of Nikki's that I'll also I sense that she's a connector, and I'm curious about that. So anything you could share, I'd appreciate it.
Sure. So it's intention. When I remember, I walk in service. When I remember, I don't want it to sound be so global. And when I am in service, so that's one thing. The second thing, so it's intention, attention, action. My intention is in service. And then my attention is for any invitation that may arrive. This young woman came exactly at the time that I was there, and she connected with me with her eyes. She said hello to me. Most people don't say hello in the bathroom. And when I saw her invitation, I was open to exchange. And then even then, even though I push it a little bit, I have to say, then I left it alone because I left the bathroom and I did it intentionally a little bit earlier. I hadn't dried my hands yet, but I thought I went a little bit far. So it's almost like I'm very, very aware of something happening potentially. You know, it's like when people are open to dating, they're like their eyes is open for like a person that it's they're attractive to. You know, I am open to connecting like all the time, except for the times that I'm not. You know, there are times that I actually am closed for business. So I see it as like the doors are open for business or closed for business. But when I am open, then I see the invitation. We all have invitations. You know, that smile, that person that just went by you and like really connected. Eyes are the main thing. When they connect with my eyes, I see that as an invitation. And then when it's followed by a word or a hello or a hi, hi is a very interesting word, by the way. Hi, let's go hi together. It's like it invites me, but I am checking all the time, just like when I'm checking when I'm talking to my kids, is this going well? Because sometimes I can be going too far with that and they're not ready. So intention and then my attention on that. And then of course I take an action. I take the hello to the next step. I ask a question. So I asked her, that's how the whole thing started. I said, are you okay? Can I help you? Because to me, you're bringing up your food is not something I do every day. So, and that then it went from that. So the intention is, and sometimes the intention is, I really do not want to connect. I am going in, even though I'm in public. I need the energy. I don't have much to spend, you know? So that's probably what happens. So that's one thing. The second thing is, I remember things as the stories, not everybody does. I formed a story and I put it in the library. And then somebody says something. Henry can't believe that we've been together for 20 years and he still hears the stories that he hasn't heard. We went to lunch. Let me see, bedtime. Yeah. We went to lunch 2 weeks ago with one of the people. One of my ex-partners that was visiting Los Angeles. He reached out and he said he would like to see me. And I said, I would love to see you, but I have to make sure Henry's okay with this. And Henry said, yes. And so what happened was I picked him up from the airport. I went to the restaurant with him. We spent an hour. I asked my ex, are you okay with meeting Henry? And he said, yes. So they called Henry and Henry came and joined us. And you won't believe how many stories in that luncheon came to my awareness. The stories that I had somehow filed away. And it had nothing to do with that person, but that opened the story box of that era. It was a long time ago, 20, I don't know, 30 years ago, but it opened that door. So, but I remember things as stories as if I'm reporting a story. That's what it is. Long answer to that. Intention of wanting to serve with whatever that means. It could be that I had to clean her vomit. I don't know, but service. Two is paying attention to any potential connection. And three, taking action on that desire to connect and serve, and then standing back and see if the other person would like to dance or not. So I play the music. I start the movement, and if the person starts dancing, we dance. If not, I say, well, that was a good movement. Let me just leave. Does that make sense, Sheila?
Yes, thank you. And I see the stories as then those experiences become connectors in other instances.
Exactly. They inform each other. They inform each other. Yes, they do. Exactly. Because we're story makers. We're not all storytellers. You have that as many stories that I have, but maybe you haven't made them into stories. You say, yeah, I saw this woman and like, it could be that. But because we're all story makers, you make a story the moment you arrive here, wherever here is and whoever we are. But the question is, do I form it as a story and do I tell it as a story? I'm a storyteller. I've practiced storytelling, but we're all story makers. And it doesn't need to be anything big. I could just go across the road where my car is parked on the street, and then there's a story. A person comes and says this, and I say, let me go, and they park the car. There's a story there. Yeah.
Yeah, so
Great.
being open to those
Exactly. Exactly.
moments, being open to the story as well.
Yes. Yes. And then remembering them as a story. Like when it's the beginning of this practice, you can, for instance, believe that there was a story and then make it and keep it as a story. It's almost like I have a bookshelf with books there. I mean, I don't remember all of them, but then I go, I say, yeah, I read that book. It's like I have a shelf of stories. I place that story there, and then something happens, a color, a vibe, a word, a memory, a weather, a sound, and I say, oh yeah, I remember that story.
Thank you.
Thank you. What a great question. Let's see, who hasn't talked? Who, Shirley, are you here? Do you want to say anything?
Yes, I'm listening and taking in. Good morning. How are you?
Morning. You're very good. Flying.
No, I'm taking in the whole thing. I'm enjoying it. Especially your story really touched me because, I'm usually noisy going to places and talking to people and trying to connect, and I appreciate it that you did
Sure.
that.
Great. Thank you. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
All right. If there are no shares, Nikki, you've been quiet.
Oh, I'm always getting kind of quiet these days.
Oh, really?
Well, okay, so I'm going to spill the beans here. About 3 weeks ago, I had an EKG done. And so basically, the prognosis is congestive heart failure. And so I said, okay, of course, they want to, I've got to go see a cardiologist because it was, it was a health, checkup. And so I just said, no, I'm not doing drugs. I'm not going to take anything. There's obviously no cure for anything like this. But I said, no, there's going to be a cure. And it's going to be happening me. And actually, this morning, what I did was I sat there and just said, I was grateful for all the my organs and the health that they're in. And that's what I said. And that's what I've been trying to do every morning is just be grateful for that. Because I had been feeling really tired lately. And I'm just said I'm gonna keep going, just keep exercising, keep doing what I'm doing, find natural ways. And I'm going to see a cardiologist in 3 weeks. So that's where I'm at, and I just hadn't shared that. So it just made me, Mark, when you said something, I sat there and just went, okay, just share it. It's okay, and that's it. I mean, I'm just trying to keep positive about everything, because of course, they say, well, that happens to people your age. Well, no, it's and there's no cure for congestive heart failure. There's nothing that you can do except take some drugs to help. And I go, I'm not going to do drugs. I said, if I'm going to go, it's going to be naturally and not some drug killing me. So yeah. Anyway,
Thank you
that's where
for
I'm at.
sharing, Nikki.
Yeah.
Is there anything we can do to support you?
No, just send good energy, because that's what I believe, that that we have that power in us to change anything.
We do. Why don't we then finish our session with sending healing energy to Nikki, Mark, and anybody else? Because there's a lot of stories that are untold. You know that. I mean, we all have our things. Sometimes we're not comfortable sharing, sometimes we are. Things that are happening for us or for our loved ones. So let us just finish our session by wanting healing and just praying, for lack of a better word, and see where we go. Do you feel comfortable, Nikki, receiving our
Oh, absolutely.
okay?
I'll take it, Mark. I'm sure you do too. Let's take everything we can to get ourselves and just go into gratitude for everything.
Great. Okay. Let us then do that. We're all putting our hands on our hearts, and if it feels right, let us close our eyes. Let us just breathe together. And if it helps, and if it feels right for you, I invite you to bring a smile to your face, because prayers in pain have different influence than prayers in smile and happiness. It is with trust, it is with love, it is with healing energy that we picture the person that is the subject of our prayer. In this case, Nikki and Mark, or anybody else that you want to put in that circle. In fact, let us imagine that we are all sitting in a circle, placing the subject of our prayer in the middle while smiling, not worrying for them, not pitying them, but seeing them in their health and in their power. Can you imagine a ray of light? In fact, a blue and a green ray of light entering from above through your head into your body and pointing out through a cone of light towards the person in the middle. Sending them healing energy, happiness experiences. And you can use your words. May you recover. May you find yourself in the midst of health and laughter. May you stay connected to your body. May you activate the unlimited power of healing that you are holding within every cell of your body. May you connect to the energy of love, self-love. May you connect to the collective energy of love. May you connect to the love of divine. May you connect to the collective of these three: self-love, other love, and divine love. And then use your own words. Imagine the light going from you towards the person in the middle. With your mind's eye, see them receiving this energy, activating their health and their healing journey. I see you, Mark and Nikki, dancing, hopping, flowing, flying through this journey. I see you healthy. I see you wealthy within your amazing, unlimited richness. Right. Let us come back. There's unmute. You guys were so happy in my imagination. So I don't know what you felt, but I felt nothing but happiness and health. All right, guys, let us unmute and say goodbye. Unless the next time, next week, Nikki has a peer-led group
No.
and we have lots happening 3-1 in June. You think it's funny, huh?
And then Carlotta has hers in the first week of January, June, I mean, right? In
June,
Carlotta.
yes. We have 3 in June and 1 left in May. Please attend and let's just meditate together. I
Yeah.
mean, yeah, you guys. Bye, everyone. Have a great
Bye.
weekend.
Bye.
Bye.
I have a message for you.